Welcome to this week's episode of Cure Talks Cancer. Today, we'll be speaking with Ryan Hamner. Since the age of 5, Ryan has battled cancer 4 times and is still coping with some after effects of the disease. But that didn't stop him from doing 2 things he loves, writing and creating music. Ryan will discuss how and why he came to write his first children's book for kids with cancer, as well as the inspiration for songs about the disease that have garnered national acclaim. Ryan is a contributing writer for Cure's Voices program, too. To read more, check out curetoday.com/community. Can you tell us a little bit about your cancer history from the time that you were diagnosed and to where you are now?
So it really started with a misdiagnosis. I guess that would be in 1981. Yes, I'm showing my age. And then the end of 1982 is when I was first diagnosed, and I started treatment in 1983. I guess I was in first grade. I always go by grades because my memory's not exactly sharp, but, so I had recurrences throughout grade school and, had to do the whole, you know, half homeschool and then go to school. And if my counts were good, I could go out in public. And if they were bad, I'd have to stay home or wear a mask, that kind of thing. I had these, you know, my third occurrence was in, sixth grade. So that was 1988. And, you know, it was the same thing. And, you know, I was good for a while. I had some effects of treatment from radiation. I had digestive problems. I had, you know, as a kid, I had depression and anxiety and those kind of things. But I thought I was good for a while. And then 1997, I had another occurrence. And so that was a while after, you know, being well. So that was very disappointing. But we were able to take care of that with you know, bone marrow transplant. And one thing that was pretty interesting about the treatment in 1998 versus when I'd last had my treatment is I always remember the treatment from the 80s as just being totally brutal. Just, you know, there was nothing that they could give me that would make me not be, you know, so sick and so nauseated. But I remember in 98, when I went to the clinic, I was, you know, I was really nervous about having to go get treatment again. And, when I went to get the treatment, they had new medication and I was actually able to, you know, eat like a turkey sandwich. Yeah. And make bad jokes because it was, some medicine that made you a little loopy. But, that was, you know, that was pretty interesting seeing the, contrast in the, you know, how treatment was in the '80s and the '90s and how far it's come. So that was a good thing. And then from then on, it's been, you know, it's been the battle with the residual effects of radiation to the chest and cardiotoxic chemo drugs and that kind of thing, which is something that I write about a lot for, you know, people need to pay attention to these things and know about them ahead of time so they know what to look for and they can take care of themselves ahead of time in case they have to have, you know, a valve replacement or whatever they have to have. You know, you go into it stronger, you're going to do better.
So you're both a writer and a musician. Were those creative outlets always in your life? And what kind of influence did this whole cancer journey, which is pretty extensive, have on your work?
My dad played music. That definitely got me interested. But I did not start playing music until, you know, when I was 14. So, it was after my third bout with cancer. So, you know, and then of course I played all the way up until now. And I did not really start writing until I got into the whole blog thing. And sometimes it's hard for me to call myself a writer, because like, you know, I know my grammar is not exactly perfect. I just, you know, it definitely, I would say around, 21 is when I did, 21, 22 is when I did the kids book, which I guess that was the writing level I was on. So I wrote a kids book, you know, You'll Be All Right, Buddy, did that for Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I guess you could say it was an outlet, but at the time I felt like I was actually recovering from my transplant, and I felt like, hey, this is something that I think could be used for young people with cancer. So I put together that book, and then I guess it was 2010 is when I started working on a few songs related to cancer.
So tell me a little bit about You'll Be All Right, Buddy. What's it about, and is this a book that you wish you had when you were a young kid who was first diagnosed?
The book is basically it's just kind of a basic storybook that explains chemotherapy and radiation, and it has, you know, these cool little pictures that hopefully aren't too scary for children. But everybody named in the book, they're named after people I met during my last treatment of Hodgkin's in 1998, when I was living at the Hope Lodge in Atlanta. The people that I met, that's what I named the character. So the main character, Buddy, he goes through, you know, from having symptoms of cancer to treatment, and then to some of the issues that you might experience as a child with cancer. And then, of course, it has, you know, him, the story ends where he's cured and he gets to go home and he comes off treatment. So, yeah, that's basically how the book goes. And originally it was picked up by Blue Cross Blue Shield. They published the book. And that was in, wow, that was a long time ago. That was it 2000, somewhere around then. And so that was actually really cool too, working with Blue Cross, with the book.
So your first diagnosis was at the age of 5, right?
Yes.
So, but when people think of patients with cancer, typically the picture that, you know, people conjure up of is elderly people, older people. So what was it like being in this smaller population of pediatric patients? And do you think that there's enough awareness that, hey, kids get cancer too?
It's interesting because my diagnosis was late. I think it was a year and a half to maybe 2 years late because of that very thing that, you know, I was so young and the chances of me having cancer as a child were so small, and it was rare that I would have this disease and that kind of thing. So it delayed my diagnosis, which could have, you know, fortunately it worked out for me, but it could have not, you know, it could have been worse. So I do think it is an issue, you know, something that parents should be aware of, you know.
You recently shared that you are working on a second book. So what can you tell us about that?
This book is going to be about just overall survival. It's going to give, you know, some specific stories of my life, of, you know, of course, battling cancer and just what it was like for me growing up in school as somebody with cancer. And then just some things in between that just happened. I mean, you know, I know everybody has their things they have to deal with and that happened to them in life. But when I look back on my life, I literally can't believe everything that has happened. I was hit head on by a drunk driver in, it was 2001, and that kind of, that undid some physical therapy I'd had for my cancer treatment. But there was just many things, you know, that have gone on, you know, that I've somehow always have pulled through. You know, I've been unconscious a couple times, and that of course stems from heart issues from cancer treatment. So yeah, it'll be a book about just survival, and I'm really excited about finishing the book and getting that out.
So do we have kind of a timeline for the book?
I do not.
Okay.
I don't. I have a company that's helping me with the marketing plan and that kind of thing. So I'm kind of leaving all of that to them. But you can rest assured that when I know, I will let you know.
Great. We're looking forward to it. So you mentioned that the book is going to touch upon some things that helped you get through all these different situations you had in your life. Tell me, what were some of the things that helped you get through a cancer diagnosis? You mentioned a pretty bad car crash.
Well, one of the things has been good people. You have to have, and I know this is one that, you know, again, one of the cliche memes you might see on Instagram or something, but you have to surround yourself with good people. So good family, good friends, or good friend, you know, you have to have that. Also, something as simple as hobbies. You know, you don't have to be the best writer in the world. You don't have to be the best musician, but you have to have that thing that you can, you know, get up every day and look forward to doing. So I had a few of those. I had, working out, even though I was sick. And when I say working out, I don't mean running, you know, 3 miles. It was just what I could do that mentally made me feel like I'd done something. And then I had some very weird hobbies actually in third grade. When I was going through cancer treatment, I had, gardens. That was my big hobby back then. So yeah, kind of weird for a third grader having gardens, but that's another one of the things I did. And then I had, of course, the not so cool hobby of, metal detecting when I was sick the last time. But yeah, those are just the things I kind of had, you know, that I could look forward to doing and, you know, got me through. And of course, music. I mean, I can't forget that one. That one was probably the biggest one of all.
All right. So if you want to switch gears a bit and talk more about music. So in 2011, you released a song called Survivor Survive, and it ended up being kind of a theme song. Is that correct, for World Cancer Day in 2015?
Yeah, it was a song they had on their site as a free download. And so they used it in 2015. So that was really cool.
Can you take us through the process of your songwriting and kind of how that came to be with World Cancer Day?
Yeah, that song originally, I did it in replacement of another song, and that's a whole other story. I won't get into all those details. But so yeah, I recorded this song, Survivor Survive. I originally wrote it for a cancer organization, and I was on a very small budget. And what kind of spread the video and got the song rather going, and people, you know, playing it at their events and that kind of thing, was what I would now call a very cheesy video that's on YouTube. You know, I couldn't find anybody to help me with the video in terms of, hey, you know, we understand what this is for. We'll shoot the video. So I literally had to make this video on a little Walmart camera. And, it was, yeah, I mean, looking back at it now, I'm a little embarrassed, but hey, because of the video, you know, people started using the song, and, you know, I got asked to play a bunch of Relay for Life and that kind of thing. And then people started making their own videos with the song. So it just kind of grew and grew. And, I'll check YouTube every now and then, and I'll see that, you know, it was used at this event or that event. And today it's been used, you know, I know it's been used in Japan and Australia and countless Relay for Life. And, you know, there's been times where I've just driven however many hours just to play that one song at some event. So it's been really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. And you have another song, Where Hope Lives, and that was linked up with the American Cancer Society, correct?
Yes, yes. Where Hope Lives was specifically done for the American Cancer Society Hope Lodge I stayed at the Hope Lodge in Atlanta, Georgia, when I was going through my transplant. And so this is, you know, a song I offered to do for them. And it was used at their Coaches versus Cancer event, I performed it for their Coaches versus Cancer event. And then it was later used in one of their commercials. But that song, you know, it also turned out to be, Where Hope Lives turned out to be the kind of the tagline for the Nashville rescue mission. So a couple years later, they contacted me, and they ended up using it in one of their PSAs on television. So that was really cool, too.
we talked a bunch about, you know, cancer has thrown a lot at you over the past years. What's one piece of advice you would give to patients and survivors who might be just like you?
Wow. You know, one thing is you got to be tough because, you know, there you'll have some good people that will care about you, but the world itself is not always going to care about your situation, you know. But back to kind of what we were speaking about earlier is, you know, as a childhood survivor, one of the biggest things for me is I wish that back then I would have known what to look for in terms of my heart, my lungs, and those types of things, as a result of the chemotherapy and the radiation that I was getting, because how I found out about my heart is not the way that, most people want to find out they have a heart issue from their treatment. And the way I found out was Christmas Day, 2006, you know, we're getting ready to eat Christmas dinner and I fall on the floor unconscious. And, that's how I learned that, hey, you know, you're experiencing right now is most likely from all the radiation you had to your chest and that type of thing. So along with that, you know, as you follow these things, you're aware of them. I would say also to be, you know, exercise has always been a thing for me. If you can, you know, and the doctor will let you to be in the best condition you can so that as you have things come up physically that are health-wise that need to be taken care of, you'll be in, you know, better shape and your body might be able to tolerate treatment or procedures better.
So what's next in your life? Do you have any future upcoming things that you're really excited about or anything else you want to leave off on?
The book is is probably one of my main focuses right now. And just writing more about surviving cancer as a child and trying to help people long term, write these reminder articles. Hey, are you aware of your heart? Are you aware of the drugs that you had during your treatment and those types of things? I think my future is all about writing and how I can help other survivors.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Cure Talks Cancer. Tune in next week as Cure talks to the Donna Foundation about its annual marathon weekend. We'll hear from founder Donna Deegan herself on why she started the organization, from the organization's executive director on how this year's run went, and also about the inspiring cancer journey for one leading fundraiser, Hollis Younger.
The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.